Well, happy Sabbath, dear ones, and welcome to our main church service on this 4th of November, 2023. Welcome to all of those that are joining us on the phone, those that are listening to the recording, and those that are here in the room. And so happy to have each of you in fellowship. It's good to be back, and thank you again, dear Sister Rose, for covering for me for these several weeks, and praise God that October's in the past for his merciful kindness, his tender love, his many answered prayers, and his rulership in our lives. And what a joy it is to be back with you all. Our opening song for today's service is titled, Have Thine Own Way, Lord. And what a loving, compassionate, wise Savior we have. It is definitely for our best interest to let him have his perfect way. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will, while I am waiting, yielded and still.
Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now, as in thy presence humbly I bow.
Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way, wounded, weary, help me, I pray. Power, O power, touch me and heal me, Savior divine.
Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. O Lord, my being, absolute sway, fill with thy spirit, till all shall see thy only always living in me.
Amen. And may we indeed submit ourselves to the way of the Lord, take the yoke of Christ upon us, and allow him to lead and guide us in the way everlasting. Never go wrong that way. Christ will never lead us astray. Only into the best possible paths that lead to eternal life. Please join with me for opening prayer. Father, thank you so very much for not forsaking us or leaving us in sin and darkness and despair, but for taking the more costly approach and emptying all heaven in the gift of thy Son, that we might indeed be given a second chance to prove to you that we love you above anything else, that we want to follow your Savior up the straight, narrow path through that straight gate that ends in eternal life, and that we choose out of love for thee and for your Son to keep thy commandments and not be a rebel along with the rest. We pray for grace and strength that we might indeed be a commandment keeper and no longer a commandment breaker. Thank you for the divine power that enables us to follow our Savior and to live by every word that proceedeth out of his mouth. Thank you for life today. Thank you for the privilege of gathering with others of like faith, that we might dig into thy word of inspiration and discover the truth as it is in Jesus. We ask for your presence, the presence of our Savior and the Holy Spirit and heavenly angels as well, to continue to be abiding guests with us. Spirit, please open our understanding and help us to behold wondrous things out of the word of life. Increase our ability to understand, to comprehend, and gain the eye salve from above that we might see things as you view them. Especially open our understanding to ourselves that we may see if we're following in the way of truth or if we've deviated through misunderstanding or misinterpretation or wrong ideas. Please, Spirit, reprove, correct, and instruct us in the way of righteousness. And thank you so much for being our teacher and our guide today. We pray that as you are the great physician, dear Savior, that you'll draw close to those who need your healing touch, your healing grace. Bring relief to their troubled mind, to their emotions, to their physical health, to any other area that needs your miracle working power to bring deliverance. Thank you so much for being a complete Savior and for restoring what the devil is trying to steal from us. We pray that you'll be with those who were unable to attend. Please grant them a wonderful Sabbath blessing. Bring them back into fellowship soon. And thank you that we can come to you at any time of day or night to commune with thee, to talk with thee, to share with you our burdens and fears and perplexities, and to know that you will give the answer, that you will give the patience, that you will give the grace and the virtue to hold fast and endure and not lose our salvation. Thank you again for being in control of all things. Thank you for your blessings, your love, your companionship, and your help. And thank you for being with us and blessing our gathering here. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. So again, happy Sabbath, dear ones. And the sermon that I've chosen to give today is the same sermon that I gave to the Seventh-day Adventist Church company that invited me to speak to their group last month. And it was quite an experience. Some few received it with rejoicing. About a third would have nothing to do with me after the sermon was given. Another third were friendly, but you could tell that they were somewhat troubled. And appreciate your prayers for all that were there in the live church service, or those that have seen the recording from that service. But this sermon is entitled Christ and His Church. And for those that would like to follow along with the notes and the quotes that I'll be referring to, you can find these on our website at lightministries.com/ID826.htm. So lightministries.com/ID826.htm. And our opening text, if you look at quote number one, is taken from John 14:6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So the only way to salvation is Jesus. There's nothing else that can provide salvation to us except the Savior. We're told in 1 Timothy 2:5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. So again, salvation is only through Jesus, because he's that connecting link. He's that mediator that connects fallen mankind, you and me, directly with God. And if you look at quote number two, the scriptures bring out this point very clearly. The Bible brings out that it is only in and through Jesus Christ, this is quote number two, that we find the truth. That's John 14:6. Now you can notice here I have all the quotations, all the references put for everything I'm going to be bringing out here. And I'm not going to take the time to go through or bring out each reference. You can read it there. But it's only in and through Christ that we find the truth, that we become part of the new covenant, that we find redemption, that we are justified, that we become righteous, that we obtain peace with God, that we have access to the Father. It is only in and through Christ that God will show us his kindness, that we receive grace, that we receive the Holy Ghost, that we become wise, that we become alive and we can then live. It is only through Jesus that God works in us, that we become sanctified, that we are made perfect, that we can do all things, that we can gain the victory, that we can triumph over sin, that we can remain faithful, that we can be preserved in sanctification, that we can become a child of God and an heir of God, that we can receive spiritual blessings, become rich, sit in heavenly places, escape from the wrath to come. It is only through Christ that we will be resurrected if we should die before he returns, that we find our salvation and shall be saved, and that we find eternal life. So you can see that the scriptures bring out very clearly that it is only through Jesus Christ that we have hope, that we become everything good. It only comes through him. So our only hope of foundation, our only hope of salvation is found solely in and through Jesus Christ. We're told in Acts 4 verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So if we have and are hid in Jesus Christ, then we have everything necessary to be saved. So this means that we do not need Peter or the Pope or priests or pastors or elders or Buddha or Krishna or Muhammad or Maitreya or any other person to be saved. We only need Jesus. This also shows us that we don't need councils or creeds or churches or denominations or religious institutions in order to be saved. We only need Jesus. Remember, there's no salvation in anything else except Jesus. So then if all we need is Jesus, then why does the Bible also mention there being a church of Christ and the need for fellowship? Well, let's explore this a little bit. If you look at quote number 3, we're told in Ephesians 5 verses 23 to 27 and verse 30, Christ is the head of the church and he is the savior of the body. The church is subject unto Christ. Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. So these verses reveal to us that Christ's church is his body. So then how do we join or become part of Christ's church? How do we become part of his body? We join Christ himself. So this reveals to us that when we join or connect ourselves with Christ, we then instantly become part of his body or part of his church. So this means that we do not need to join any church denomination before we can become part of Christ's church. We just need to join Jesus Christ himself. We're told in Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. And then in 1 Corinthians 3, verses 16 to 18. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. And then Paul says, let no man deceive himself. So we see that this particular issue of the temple of God or the church of Christ is a point in which people can become deceived But the Bible is very clear that when you allow Jesus into your heart, you instantly become yoked with him. You become part of his body and members of his church. That's the biblical truth. And so this means that you do not need to join any church denomination in order to become part of God's church. All you need to do is join Jesus. Remember, he's the only way, truth, and the life. You can't find it anywhere else. But the vast majority do not understand this biblical truth. And they have joined various denominations, honestly believing that doing so, they were finding God and then connecting themselves with Christ, becoming part of his body when they joined the church. So then will all these Christians be lost? And the answer is no. But not everybody who joins a church denomination are really the followers of Christ. Now, if you look at quote number 4, all denominations are made up of true and false Christians. And Christ is very clear about this in many of his parables. Parables that dealt with the gospel net. That net brought in both good and bad fish from the same water. The parable of the wise and foolish virgins, they were together in the same fellowship. The parable of the wheat and tares, they were together in the same field. The parable of the sheep and the goats, they were together in the same fold. Also the parable of the wise and evil stewards, they were of the very same profession. So you can see that in any church denomination, there's both true and false Christians. We're told in Romans 9 verse 6, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. So these verses show us that not everyone who were members of Israel were really true Israelites. There were two groups. One was true Israelites and the other were false. In Matthew 7 verses 21 to 3. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So just like with Israel, there were members of Israel which were not really Israelites. So the same with Christians. There are Christians who are lost, even though they were claiming to be followers of Christ. But why were these Christians lost? And the answer that Christ gave was that they worked iniquity. What is iniquity? Iniquity is sin. And what is sin? We're told in 1 John 3 verses 4 to 8. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifest to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him, or in Christ, sinneth not, Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteous is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. So these church members were lost because they were not keeping God's commandments. They were not living by every word of God. They were not connected and yoked together with Jesus Christ, but they were instead connected with and yoked together with the devil, the author of sin. So this shows us that salvation is not found by claiming to be a Christian. If you look at quote number 5. Salvation is not found by becoming a member of any denomination. Salvation is found by being connected with Jesus and remaining yoked together with him, becoming part of his body, part of his church. We're told in John 15, verses 1 to 6. I am the true vine, said Christ, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. So these inspired verses reveal to us that some Christians who were originally connected with Jesus, remember, they were a branch in him. They were part of his body. They were part of his vine. Did not bear fruit. In other words, they accepted Jesus as their Savior, but then they did not keep all of God's commandments. They committed sin and were eventually lost. Quite interesting here. So they were a branch in Christ. They were connected with him at one time, but then they did not bear fruit. So this reveals to us that in every church denomination, including the Seventh-day Adventist Church, you have two different groups of Christians composing its membership. Now, which group composes God's true church, the good or the bad? Well, it would only be the good, because they're connected with and they follow Jesus Christ and they keep his commandments. We're told in Acts of the Apostles, page 11, from the beginning, faithful souls have constituted the church on earth. In the Spirit of Prophecy, volume 4, page 237, in the days of the Reformation, the gentle and pious Melanchthon declared, there is no other church than the assembly of those who have the word of God and who are purified by it. But this poses quite a dilemma to those that are desiring to be part of God's true church. Because in all the denominations in the world, you have both true and false Christians worshiping together. But the denomination itself is not God's true church. only those who are connected with Christ compose the true church. So then how does one tell the difference between the true and the false church? If you look at quote number 6. Christ tells us in Matthew 7 verses 18 to 20. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. So this reveals to us that those good Christians are able to bear good fruits because of their connection with Christ. And it is by their good fruits that they are seen to be part of God's true church. The bad Christians do not have Christ with them, and their bad fruits reveal that they are not part of God's true church. The only difference between these two groups of Christians is one group has Christ and the other does not. So this shows us that it was the presence of Christ that make a church of Christ. It made the good part of his church. But the presence of Christ that was not with the bad Christians made them not part of Christ's church. So it was the presence of Christ that made a church of Christ. But without the presence of Christ, you are not his church. We're told in Matthew 18:20, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, and name there is more than just the name Jesus. It represents character. Where two or three are gathered together in Christ's character, there am I in the midst of them. They compose Christ's church. We're also told in Upward Look, page 315. God has a church. It is not the great cathedral. Neither is it the national establishment. Neither is it the various denominations. It is the people who love God and keep his commandments. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Matthew 18:20. Where Christ is even among the humble few, this is Christ's church. For the presence of the high and holy one who inhabiteth eternity can alone constitute a church. Where two or three are present who love and obey the commandments of God, Jesus there presides. Let it be in the desolate place of the earth, in the wilderness, in the city enclosed in prison walls. Quite amazing, isn't it? So this reveals to us that you don't need to visit or join any particular denomination in order to become part of God's true church. All you need to do is join Jesus. Now, if you look at quote number 7. In Acts chapter 7, verses 47 to 50, we're told. But Solomon built him, or built God, an house. Howbeit, the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands. As saith the prophet, heaven is my home, and earth is my footstool. What house will ye build me, saith the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? Hath not my hands made all these things? Now this was spoken some 2,000 years ago by Stephen. And here we see that Stephen was basically telling all the Jewish church members that in this new covenant period, God doesn't dwell in literal buildings. But God instead desires to dwell in the individual hearts of his people through Jesus Christ. And Jesus states the same thing. In John 4, verses 19 to 24. The woman of Samaria, the woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and she was referring to the temple at Mount Gerizim. And ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain, the temple at Gerizim, nor yet at Jerusalem, the church at Jerusalem, worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship. For salvation is of the Jews. Or in other words, the message of salvation was committed to the Jews. But the hour cometh and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. These verses reveal to us that God's true church is not made up of this denomination or that denomination, but is made up of individuals who are connected with Jesus Christ and who worship God in spirit and in truth. So this shows that you do not need to find any particular denomination in order to worship God, but you can worship him in your very home, just like the disciples and other followers of Christ chose to do in their day. You can find that in Romans 16:5, greet the church that is in their home. 1 Corinthians 16:19, Colossians 4:15, Philemon verse 2 says the same thing. So here we see that God's true church is made up of individuals. It's not made up of denominations. But what about fellowshipping with God's true church? If you look at quote number 8, are we just to worship God alone in our homes without uniting and worshiping God with other Christians? We'll see what God says. In Hebrews 10, verses 24 to 5. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. So we see that it is a command of God that all his followers join together in fellowship in worshiping God and helping one another to grow in love, to grow in faith, and in good works. But who are we to fellowship with? We have the command to fellowship, but who? There are over 1,000 different church groups that we can fellowship with. Does God want us to fellowship with each one week after week? Is there only one out of the 1,000 that he wants us to fellowship with? Is there any instruction from God in his word as to who he wants his followers to unite with in fellowship and worship? God gives a command. And he gives instruction on how to follow that command. We find in 1 John 1, verses 3 to 7. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we heard of Him, or have heard of Him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, first of all, these inspired verses reveal to us the truth, that we are first to have fellowship with God and Jesus Christ by following the light of truth ourselves. And then we are to have fellowship with others who are also walking in the light or the truth of God. So first, we're to have our connection with God and Christ and follow the light of truth ourselves, having fellowship with them. And then we're to have fellowship with others who are also walking in the light of God. So this reveals to us that God doesn't just want us to purposely remain like a hermit all alone in our worshiping of Him, but He also doesn't want us to just join any fellowship, any church group. But God wants us to join together with other followers of God who are walking in the light of Christ. And in order to know what that light of Christ is, means you have to do your own study and follow the light yourself. So this reveals to us that if any church group is not following the truth of God, then they do not have fellowship with God and Christ. They do not have God and Christ in their midst because they're not walking in the light. And so then they're not a safe church group for any of the followers of God to fellowship with either. We're told in John 12, verse 26, if any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. So this reveals that if the presence of Christ is in a church group because they're following the truth, they're keeping the commandments of God, and therefore they have fellowship with God and Christ, then that is where the servants of Christ will want to join in fellowship. But if the presence of Christ is not in a church group because they're not following the light of truth, which means they do not have Christ in their midst, then none of the servants of Christ will want to fellowship there either. Where Christ is, that's where His servants are going to be. Where Christ is not, then Christ's servants will not want to be there either. And this is quite a startling truth to understand, and an even harder truth to follow. And especially is this the case for those that have honestly been fellowshipping with a church group for years, only to discover that that church is not following the truth of Christ and therefore is not a church of God and not a place that He would have them continue to fellowship with. And it places these individuals in a very difficult position because they cannot have both Christ and the unfaithful church at the same time. They have to choose one or the other. If they remain fellowshipping with their church group, then they knowingly are choosing the church over following Christ. And they're no longer followers of God. They're no longer walking in the light. They're no longer connected with Christ. They're no longer part of His body or true church. and thus they no longer have salvation in that position. But if they obey God, then they have to leave their church and continue following Christ outside of it. So you can see that this truth really tests who Christians love the most. Either Christ or the unfaithful church, because they can't have both at the same time. And this solemn reality, this great test, is exactly what happened with the Jewish church and the followers of Christ some 2,000 years ago. If you look at quote number 9. The Jews loved and worshiped their unfaithful temple or church more than they loved and worshiped God. We're told in Jeremiah 7 verse 4, "Trust ye not in lying words, saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these." So they were boasting in the fact that they were the temple of the Lord in word only, while they were breaking the commandments in reality, and thus they were not the temple of the Lord. And Paul writes to every Jewish church member the following words in Hebrews 13 verses 12 to 13. "Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach." So every single Jewish church member were faced with having to make the decision to remain with their unfaithful church and be lost without Christ, or to leave the unfaithful church and be joined together with Christ and become sanctified, part of his true church, and receive salvation. It was one or the other. Sanctification, salvation, as well as being part of Christ's church, are only found through Christ Jesus. It's not found by remaining or belonging to a church denomination. In 1 John 5 verse 12, "He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." So any Jew that remained connected with their unfaithful church were lost without the Savior. Any who left and joined with Christ outside became sanctified, part of his true church, and were saved because they had the Son. They were yoked together with him. But they couldn't have him while remaining members of an unfaithful church. Those who clung to the Jewish church were lost. Those who left it and clung to Christ were saved. So that was 2,000 years ago. What about today? Are all church denominations today without the presence of Christ in their midst, and thus not part of the true church? We look at quote number 10 from Isaiah chapter 4 verse 1. "And in that day, seven women shall take hold of one man, saying, we will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel. Only let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach." Now, in order to understand this verse more clearly, we have to define some of the symbols there. Seven is a number that symbolizes perfection or completeness. Women in the scriptures can be likened to churches. So in that day, in today's day and age, all the churches, seven women, complete churches, all the churches of today shall take hold of one man. Who's that one man? Christ. All the churches of today take hold of Christ saying, we want to be Christians, but we're going to eat our own bread. Bread is a symbol of doctrine. We're going to teach our own doctrine. We don't want your truth, your word. We want our own. And we're going to wear our own apparel. We don't want your precious robe of righteousness. We want to continue in our filthy garments. Only let us be called by thy name. Let us be called Christians to take away our reproach. So just like it was 2,000 years ago, you couldn't cling to the unfaithful temple and still have Christ at the same time. Because Christ left the unfaithful temple so that he could provide sanctification for all those who chose to follow him. And it's the same today. All the denominations of the world are Christless because they want to teach their own supposed truth and they want to wear their own garments, but they want to be called followers of Christ. So then what about the Laodicean Seventh-day Adventist Church denomination? Are they part of these seven women? Are they part of all the denominations today? Are they also Christless? You know, we can't go by what we think, and we can't go by what we're told. We have to go by what God says. So what does God state about the Laodicean Adventist Church denomination? If you look at quote number 11, from Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 to 16 and verse 20. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew or vomit thee out of my mouth. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. So then where is Christ in relationship to the Laodicean church? Is he inside the church or is he outside? He's standing at the door and knocking, which means he's outside the Laodicean church. That means the Laodicean church is Christless because Christ is not inside, he's outside. And God's prophet tells us in Notebook Leaflets, Book 1, page 99. The church, referring to the Seventh-day Adventist church, the church is in the Laodicean state The presence of God is not in her midst. Quite startling, isn't it? But dear ones, who do you love above anything and everything in this world? Do you love Christ above everything? Or do you love something above Christ? Do you love Christ above an unfaithful church? Or do you love the unfaithful church above Christ? Everyone is being tested on who they love the most. You look at quote number 12. In Matthew 10, verses 37 to 38. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. Where did Christ take his cross? Outside the unfaithful church. Are you willing to do the same and follow after him? We're also told in Revelation 14, verses 1 and 4. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. Women, of course, represents churches. Defilement represents bad churches, okay? Unfaithful churches. So the 144,000 are not defiled with unfaithful churches. They don't belong to unfaithful churches, for they're virgins. They follow the truth. They follow Christ, who is the truth. They follow the Lamb whithersoever Christ leads them. They take up their cross. They go outside the gates of an unfaithful church, and they follow the Savior so they can be sanctified by him, becoming yoked together with him, becoming part of his body, his true church. So, dear ones, are you a true servant and follower of Jesus Christ? If so, follow him. Again, Jesus is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. If you have the Son, you have life. But you have to give up everything that keeps you from following the Savior. I pray that you will follow him. Our closing song is I'd Rather Have Jesus. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand. than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today.
I'd rather have Jesus than men's applause. I'd rather be faithful to his dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to his holy name than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today.
He's fairer than lilies of Gilead's bloom. He's sweeter than honey from out of the comb. He's all that my hunger when spirit needs. I'd rather have Jesus and let him lead than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today.
Amen. Again, if we have Jesus, we have everything we need for eternal life. If we have anything other than Jesus, we have nothing that brings us life.
If we have Jesus, we have salvation.
Please join with me in closing prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so very much for your written word of life. Thank you for inspiring holy men and women of old with thy spirit to write down the things that they did, inspired from thy spirit. And thank you for preserving all of these writings of yours and allowing us to have them so freely that we can study for ourselves, we can read for ourselves what your word is instead of having to ask someone to tell us. Thank you also for thy grace and thy strength, thy encouragement and comfort that your spirit gives us. And thank you, Spirit, for reproving and correcting us instructing us that we might not be deceived, but may understand these truths clearly, and for the grace to follow, to change, to grow, and increase, and to indeed become sanctified in Christ Jesus our Savior. I pray that you'll be with all of those that are struggling with this issue, whether to forsake all to follow Christ or to forsake Christ to keep all. And I pray that you will help them to see clearly that even if they gain the entire world, it is nothing compared to what Christ can give, what Christ offers, what he is. I pray that the dazzling brightness and desire that the devil paints all of these worthless things with, that spell will be broken, and they will come to see exactly that an unfaithful church connects them with the devil, that sin connects them with the devil, that error connects them with the devil, and be willing to give it all up that they may have Christ Jesus as their own. I pray, Spirit, that you'll draw close to those that have heard this message and rejected it. Trouble their hearts that they may study it for themselves. Open their understanding that they may see clearly. I pray that you will prepare the hearts of those who have yet to hear it, or perhaps have heard and it didn't see any light in it. Help them to understand. Remove the barriers. Take away the stumbling blocks that they may see that straight, clear, narrow, upward path that leads to life. That they can get on it by joining Christ themselves. Be with those of us who have followed this truth, some for many years. I pray for extra grace and strength for continuing on to hold fast, to endure until the end, to not give up our hope, our faith, but to remain grounded, steadfast, and unmovable upon Christ Jesus, the truth. Thank you for allowing us to gather together, for allowing doors to be opened, even to the enemy's fold, for allowing the truth to be spoken and seeds to be planted. And thank you for watching over all of the seeds and for allowing those in good hearts to sprout and to grow, bringing conversion. What a joy it is to sow the seeds of truth to others that they might have a chance to come to the Savior and be saved. Help us indeed to be true Christians. Help us to bear fruits to your glory. Help us to endure the pruning process that we may give more glory to thee. Help us not to be a Christian in name only, but then continue to live in sin, because we'll be cut off from Christ and burned in the lake of fire. Help us to be earnest about our salvation, that no one takes our crown, but we hold on to Christ and make sure our crown of life. Thank you that we're a day closer to heaven. Help us to get ourselves ready and prepared. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God for his word of truth. It makes everything so clear. So that was the message that was delivered. And as I mentioned before, looking out over the crowd there, one man was smiling about 5 minutes after I started, and he continued smiling all the way through the rest of the sermon. Others, they were smiling, and then they were sad, and then they were smiling, and then they were angry, and they never smiled again. Some individuals came up and thanked me. Other individuals just walked out the door without any kind of desire to communicate. But the seeds were sown. The truth was given. And God now is in control of what the seeds do. I had one individual come to me right after. And he said, I want to thank you for giving scriptural backing for everything that you were sharing. And he said, if I could only get a copy of your notes, he goes, I would then be willing to preach this sermon where I would go. He was married to a foreigner, so he was going to go back with her to her nation, to her country, and he was going to preach the same message to those that would listen in her country. And I said, well, here, take my notes. And he goes, no, I don't want your notes. And I said, hey, I've got them on the computer. I can just print another copy, but, you know, go ahead and take them. And he was so grateful for that. I had others come up and were very sociable when we went for a potluck afterwards. And then I had others that wouldn't come anywhere near the table that we were sitting at. But again, the truth was shared, the seeds were scattered, and now God is in control of the harvest. Yeah, amen, amen. Even if there was just one, what a blessing. And that's true. Ellen White writes that if you reach one out of 100 and they come to Christ, she goes, you're doing fantastic missionary work for the Lord. So just one out of 100. And there was probably 25 or so there. So that... One out of 25, that is tremendous missionary work for the Lord. But he's in control of the harvest. But praise God for that open door to scatter seeds. There's a comment in the room. Brother Bob, I had an SDA woman come over on Wednesday to watch your Christ versus the Churches from your YouTube page that you made when you were young, and she was mad. Yeah, I think that was made back in 95, I think it was. So yeah, I was definitely young back then. What is that, 30, well, not quite 30 years ago. But praise God. Praise God that you were able to share with her that video. And even though it made her mad, it might make her mad enough to study to see if it's the truth or not, or to study to refute it. And, of course, that is the opportunity for the Spirit to open her eyes to see more clearly. Yeah, amen. Comment, it's not the quantity but the quality that matters with God. Amen, indeed. Any other thoughts or comments, questions, songs, anything else you'd like to share, dear ones? Please feel free.
Last week, we learned that Brother Rudy could not hear on his computer. And I just want to thank all of those who took their time to help him get the sound back so he could join with us today. What a blessing. And thank you all very much. That was the Lord's work. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Sister Cece was a gigantic help. She was able to locate that one of his icons had a slash through it, which meant that it wasn't working. It was closed off. And that was the key to getting his sound back on.
Another. Did he get his image straightened out?
I'm not sure. He'd have to turn his video on for us to see.
Rudy!
But we could not fix his video image because that was something he had to do when he was outside of Zoom. He needed to access his account, and he couldn't do that while he was in Zoom. So that was something he'd have to do afterwards. And we're not sure if he was successful or not until he turns his video on.
I haven't done it as yet. There is a notification on the side of my computer that says, rotate your video 90 degrees, but I haven't done it. I was waiting. First of all, I was more concerned to see if I won the opportunity of being part of the sermon and that I could hear. Oh, no one knows what a gift to be able to hear. And when you can't, you organize this. The praise the Lord. And I thank you all for that.
Yeah, that's true, dear sister. We have to be in Zoom to see if his screen, if his video is correctly aligned. But we can't change or instruct him how to correct his video screen. It's something he has to do when he's out of Zoom because he needs to access his account. So that's true.
We'll keep it in prayer. The Holy Spirit can help lead and guide. And thank you so much, God, for sending us the Holy Spirit. And thank you for participating, everyone in the room. You're precious to everyone, your knowledge and your experience. Thank you.
Amen, my dear sister. Amen. I also gather understanding that they wanted to know why we were twins. And I didn't have the occasion to able to explain this, that this was all a matter of the Lord. And we didn't have to be birthed from the same mom, nor any of the human manner of consumption, that this was the desire of the Lord for us to be twins made from Him.
Amen. I agree.
Yeah, we're all sons and daughters of Adam, all sons and daughters of Noah, so we are related. There's no way around that.
Isn't that a blessing?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Yeah, amen. I mean, we call each other brothers and sisters. That doesn't mean that we're literal brothers and sisters from the same parents, but we're brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. We're brothers and sisters in the same faith. So it's in that same way that you can, if you're born close to each other, you can call yourselves twins if you want. It's a sign of affection. Are there any other thoughts or comments? Anything else that you'd like to share? Please feel free.
I was going to invite anyone else in the room that was born in September of 1937 and is 86 years old. If you have that birthday and you're 86, you can be a triplet.
Amen. I second the motion. I saw in the corner that one of the sisters, I think I saw her name, Ida, I think, said something like she wrote, "It's a lie." I don't know what she meant, but anyhow, I hope she reached a spiritual understanding to clear her point of view.
Yeah. What I think Sister Ida's referring to is that you two do not have the same mother or the same father. So therefore you cannot be twins because you're not born of the same mother and the same father. But what I don't think she understands is that you're the same year you guys were born and the same month you were born. So in that aspect, you can call yourself twins.
I think spiritually also is the love that we have for each other in our hearts. And it's not a limitation. And it does not correspond to a human conception. That's why I said this is a blessing from the Lord, in which I'm very pleased to have a spiritual twin sister as Sister Joan. And as she say, anyone else that was born 1937, September, can also be a part of us.
Amen. Father Abraham had many sons and daughters. Many sons and daughters had Father Abraham. I am am one of them, and so are you. So let's all praise the Lord.
Praise Him.
Amen.
I understand both in a sense that we know that it's not a physical, which is they didn't come from the same mother and father. But just to kind of touch upon something, Timothy was considered Paul's son, but that wasn't his father. And the reason I'm touching upon it is because I had a dear sister, and she was very dear to me, for the Lord had made her to be in a time in my life that I needed someone at that moment, and we met at the job, and later the Lord allowed her to become like a spiritual mom. She's not my mom, but the relationship that I had with her, the Lord had granted her to have a very close relationship with me. I have my own mom, but at that time, the Lord had joined our heart together. So I didn't come up from a womb, but nobody could have told Cheryl that Joshy wasn't his grandson, you know, and I'm going to give a testimony concerning that too. When she passed, she sat down and she told me, Rose, I want to do something. And then she mentioned what it was that she was going to do. And then I said, please don't involve me in it, because, you know, the people are not going to really understand that connection, because they have their natural family. So she said, are you going to deny me Joshua? And I said, no, I'm not going to deny you anything. That's between you and Joshua. Whatever you have with Joshua is between you and Joshua. Whatever you have with me is with me. But me personally, I decided not to. And we just left it like that. When it was time for me to be able to go to the legal situation, and when I went to the place, they told me, is this her grandson? And I said, no. So they were very shocked. What did you mean? That I said, that is just like a spiritual mom. And it got to be really complicated, because that wasn't a blood relation to him being the grandson. But they really wanted to know why she had made a decision like that, knowing that that wasn't the grandson. So they made it very difficult for me to be able to gather. So this is the thing that it was so, you could laugh about it, but then again, it was very sad. When they was asking me questions like, what is the middle name of her mother? I was like, I don't know. So it's like they were giving me a lot of questions concerning her own personal life, which I didn't know beyond just my relationship with her. But sometimes when the Lord put two people together, even though like when they were all brothers and a disciple, they kind of was very close, like brothers, like they was coming from the same stock. But it wasn't. It's just, you just grow together. And I just wanted to share that.
Sometimes spiritual things cannot be understood by many that have human thoughts. And I have been called abuelo by many of my close sisters. For instance, Sister Cece addressed me as abuelo. Karina also addressed me as grandpa, and which I cherish so much because it goes deeper than the flesh. It's totally spiritual. And you have to be spiritual to really understand. But anyway, the Lord knows.
When my daughter was growing up,
She had a friend named Janet. I refer to Janet as my daughter also, because as a mother to Cindy, I was also a mother to Janet, who is not of my flesh and blood, but she is like a daughter to me. I refer to Sister Rose as my daughter because I feel like a mother towards her. With all of my experience, I can help her along this road that we all travel, and praise the Lord for giving us the chance to call each other brother and sister.
And thanks for the love that He has given us to be able to do it with no concern of the world style or manner of giving it.
Like the song, "The Family of God," I'm so glad I belong to the family of God. That's a great song.
Could you sing it if it's possible? That would be a wonderful way to close our meeting, if it's possible.
I will give it a try, but I need the words. So join in with me. You will notice we say brother and sister round here. It's because we're a family and these folks are so dear. When one has a heartache, we all share the tears and rejoice in each victory in this family so dear. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood, joint heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod. For I'm part of the family. The family of God. Okay, take the second verse, somebody.
From the door of an orphanage to the house of the King. No longer an outcast, a new song I sing. From rags unto riches, from the weak to the strong. I'm not worthy to be here, but praise God I belong. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood, joint heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod. For I'm part of the family. The family of God.
Amen. Praise God.
Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Sister Joan.
I was just going to say, Jesus is our brother, and He says so.
Amen. And thank you all for being part of my family as well. What a joy to have each one of you, brothers and sisters in the faith. Dear ones, are there any last thoughts that you'd like to share? Please go right ahead. Sure, go right ahead, dear sister.
I just thought that this hymn is appropriate for the sermon. It's a very Christ-centered one. And we would like to give that honor to our Savior.
Oh, sacred head now wounded, with grief and shame weighed down, now scornfully surrounded, with thorns thine only crown, how pale thou art with anguish, with sore abuse and scorn. How does that visage languish, which once was bright as morn? What thou, my Lord, hast suffered was all for sinners' gain. My mind was the transgression, but thine the deadly pain. Lo, here I fall, my Savior, 'tis I deserve thy place. Look on me with thy favor, vouchsafe to me thy grace. What language shall I borrow to thank thee, dearest friend, for this thy dying sorrow, thy pity without end? Oh, make me thine forever, and should I fainting be, Lord, let me never, never outlive my love for thee.
Amen.
Amen.
That was beautiful. Amen.
Very beautiful. And this is a very special Sabbath of what the Lord is trying to tell us. Spiritually, we are a family.
Amen. Thank you, dear sisters. It's been a long time since I heard that hymn. So thank you for singing it and refreshing my memory. Dear ones, have a wonderful remaining Sabbath day. Those on the other side of the world, have a wonderful new week. We look forward to having you back in fellowship with us soon. And it looks like we have one more scripture song to close us off before Brother Dick sings us away. Oh, please go ahead, dear sister, and looking forward to being back in fellowship with you all soon.
Praise the Lord. I have Deuteronomy 32:4. It's a scripture song that the Lord just gave me the melody. I just hope by God's grace it will bless, because it going according to the sermon. He is the rock. He is the rock. He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment. Our God of truth, our God of truth, our God of truth without iniquity, just and right is he. He is the rock, he is the rock. He is where all the work is perfect. And all his words are judgment. God are true. God are true. God are true without iniquity. Just and right is he.
Amen. And thank you for sharing that, dear sister. Deuteronomy 32:4. Until we meet again, dear ones, keep looking up. Oh, looks like Brother Dick hasn't come back yet. Brother Josh, would you like to sing Keep Looking Up for us?
Okay. Keep looking up. My God is still the same today. Keep looking up. He will not fail thee, come what may. Keep looking up. The darkest cloud will roll away. So do not doubt, but keep on looking up.
Love you, dear family. Big hugs.
Love you too, my twin.